Hard to believe for some, I'm sure, but coming up next Friday. That's right, next Friday, the 2019 NHL Draft from Vancouver, June 21st. We'll have full coverage for you. Patty's heading over to Vancouver, and we'll have lots of draft coverage for you in the next couple of weeks as we continue on the Steinberg Show. Welcome back to the show. My name is Will Nault, filling in for Pat this week. We're live inside the Basement Systems downtown studio on your Tuesday afternoon, and right now down the Grey Eagle Resort and Casino guest hotline. For more on the draft out west, we'll talk with Justin Fraze from Future Considerations. Mr. Fraze, how are you, pal?
I'm not too bad. I'm glad to be on the show again, and finally glad the draft's kind of getting to the point where we might see all of our work come to fruition, and we'll see who goes where and see if we're right, see if we're wrong in about 5 years from now.
No doubt about it. And we are getting close to it. We'll kind of start here and end here, but tell us what we can find right now with the Future Considerations Draft Guide.
All right. So the draft guide, we just dropped it here. I believe it was on the Saturday of the Combine. What it is, its details are 2019 picks. We go 300 deep with 220 full written profiles. We have a scout series in there detailing all of our guys from different regions, seeing who's one of their favorites, who's their faller, and who really disappointed them. And then with the 2020 crop, we go 40 deep with written and 100 ranked. So we sell that for online for $24.99 plus GST on futureconsiderations.ca. And just for listening now, there is a promo code, 2019 Sportsnet. And with that, you will get 25% off. And who doesn't love a good deal?
No doubt about it. So again, the promo code is 2019 Sportsnet. Go to futureconsiderations.ca for all the information. Enter that promo code, and you're right. Who doesn't like a sweet deal as we get closer to the NHL draft and get us all familiar with this 2019 NHL draft class? And, you know, maybe I'm talking out of turn, so I'll ask you, but I certainly look at this 2019 class, especially from a West perspective. And last year, especially in the WHL, you didn't hear a lot of high-end names out of the Western Hockey League. And it does seem like, anyways, that could be different this year, right?
Yeah, it's since I've been with FC, this is my sixth year. It's really been a cyclical wave that it's been riding. I know in 2014 when I started, we had Sam Reinhart and Leon Draisaitl right at the top of the class. And then again in 2017 with Nolan Patrick, Cale Makar, Cody Glass filling up that top 10. And then last year was kind of crickets. Right through, there was a lot of players that had draft potential that have maybe flatlined in their development and weren't selected, and then the highest guy picked ended up being Ty Smith, who went to the Devils at, I believe, was 17, and then Jacob Bernard Docker. This year, huge turn of events, finally. Definitely made my guys more excited to be in the rink all year long, plugging away, and there's a four-headed monster in our top 10 right now that may be going on the bit of the back burner because of the U.S. National Development Program, but the WHL is back again this year anyways.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, we will talk about a lot of different players here in the next 2-3 minutes or the next couple of questions, but I do wanted to ask you, you know, the hottest debate right now, it's fresh in a lot of people's minds, and I know it's not the guys you watch directly, but it has been a slow climb for Cabo Kako. Who do you like at number one? Is it Jack Hughes or Kako for you?
I think if you look at the whole grand scheme of things, I mean, for the last 24 months of hockey, Jack Hughes has been the undisputed guy, and really he has done nothing to make me waver from wanting to take that pick. It fits perfectly in what the Devils are doing, a high-end skilled guy who can drive up the middle, and having a 1-2 punch of Nico Hischier and him down the middle. Every time he hits the ice, like, his feet are moving, he's a threat. There's going to be some questions about his size, but if you saw him line up in that picture with Patty Kane at the World Championships, I mean, the kid's going to fill out. He's only 18 years old. Once he eats some roast beef and some mashed potatoes, he'll be right there, and we'll drive offense. And it's no disrespect to what Kapo Kako's done. He's a phenomenal player in his own right, but I think down the stretch when teams start dropping off and you only see one-on-one combat and you see how Kako can use his body, because, I mean, he's developed already into his adult form. He was dominant at that tournament, and Hughes at times was obviously a healthy scratch getting bounced around, but he also had his moments too. And if you look deeper than just what optics would prove, I mean, he had a good tournament. They both had great tournaments in their own right, And yeah, for me, I don't see the Devils going Kako at one, but stranger things have happened, and either or, they're going to get a heck of a player, and whoever they don't pick, unfortunately, the Rangers are going to be the runner-ups in that category.
He is Justin Fraze. He's the head scout, in Western Canada for Future Considerations. Their draft guide is out right now. Go to futureconsiderations.ca for all the information. And he is not certainly the prized prospect out west, but he might be the most talked about prospect out west. And he obviously played for the Kootenay Ice. And I know he's got an Achilles injury right now that he's recovering from. But Justin, tell us about Peyton Krebs and your thoughts on him, because I know for a lot of people it's been hard to evaluate him playing on such a crappy team, but he also had a really good showing at the U18. So just tell me your thoughts on Peyton Krebs.
Well, I think for us, and I mean, I got to see a lot of the Eastern guys being based out of Brandon, but I did a lot of work making sure that I got those Western guys covered and watched them multiple times, making sure that what we did in our rankings was the right thing to do. And we were higher on Krebs at the end of the day than Kirby Dach and Dylan Cousins, based on this whole fact that I believe that there's a whole heck of a lot more for him to accomplish and that what he can do. Krebs is a responsible 200-foot player. What I saw in him was a guy who had dynamic ability, but almost played with a governor to his game when he was playing on his club team. It was simply him. It almost looked as if he was playing more responsible so that he could cover the whole ice and play those big minutes rather than being a dynamo that we've seen at international events or in the top prospects game. He's got a high skill game, brilliant kid, and from everything I heard, his character is off the charts. I mean, going through what he did with the difficulties of relocating to Winnipeg and guys either not reporting or being in a tough situation in the Kootenay market, definitely not a easy task for a guy going into his draft year as a highly regarded prospect. And people were knocking him down based on the upside of the other two. But for me, I think once he gets in a lineup where he's not the only guy, where there's guys who have the same mental aptitude and similar skill sets to him, that's where he really hits another gear. And I think that he's going to be a tremendous value pick and could definitely outplay his draft position. The injury for me doesn't really scare me a whole lot. I understand that it is a long-term thing, but he's not going to be in the NHL next year. It'll be a couple years from now, but expect a big development and expect some team to be very happy if they step up and decide to take him where we have him at number six.
Now, a guy who probably has popped off the page for almost everybody this season is Bowen Byram. What about for you? And is it crazy to suggest he would be picked at number three by Chicago?
It's not crazy at all. If you want me to be honest, early in the year when I saw him, some of his early games, he just looked a little bit disengaged to me, especially in his own zone. He tried to be that dynamo almost every shift. He would go end-to-end, show flashes, but he just wasn't reading play fluently his own end. But after watching him multiple times down the stretch, and especially after Christmas, I mean, that kid has hit another level and is just continually snowballed into what looks like an elite defender at the next level. He can do pretty much everything you ask him to do. He's strong physically, plays tough in his own end, has really clamped down on some of his defensive shortcomings that I saw early on. Can play a ton of minutes a night, and like I said, his offensive skill and his vision is second to none when it comes to blue liners in this draft. I see a top pairing guy in him, maybe even a 1D guy who could probably reach you at about 30 minutes a night at his peak, maybe a little bit more, much like a Petrangelo is playing in the playoffs right now, except I think he's going to be a little bit more pop. Comparing him to how dynamic he was to a guy like Cale Makar a couple years ago, I think maybe the Cale has a better first step than him, but the way that Bowen can really drive the play and lead the offense is, while also playing responsible in his own end, is a really highly regarded aspect to his game.
We saw him first round in the playoffs against the Calgary Hitmen, and he has certainly been a fan favorite for a lot of people. He's going to be the first guy out of UConn to be drafted in the first round. Tell us about Dylan Cousins.
For me, Cousins, what I see in him, he, compared to like Kirby Dach and Peyton Krebs, he doesn't have as subtle of a skill set you know what you're going to get from him. You're going to get a strong 200-foot performance, smart player, creates offense, but he's not a guy who's going to mask a lot of his abilities. For me, we ranked him a little bit lower than maybe a lot of teams will have him and what other agencies probably do. Based on this whole fact, I think he's going to fit better into a middle six role than a guy who is going to lead an offense. Based on this whole fact, I saw some of the struggles that he had early on in the U18s. He was just trying to do too much with what he had. I mean, he can shoot, he can pass with any of those guys, but he does force play, but he is at his best when guys maybe open up ice a little bit better, a little bit more for him, and he can distribute to higher skilled players as opposed to putting a team on his back like a Peyton Cribbs did.
Now, this guy, you know, Kirby Dach is one who exploded for a lot of people, especially offensively this year. Of course, he had 7 goals a year ago, 25 this year, played well in the playoffs for the Saskatoon Blades, and many expect him to go in the top 10 next weekend. He is a big, big body at 6'4". What have you made of Kirby Dach and his kind of climb the last 2 seasons to get where he is right now?
I think the frustrating and confusing part of him, I mean, he's... For me, he's a top 5 skill player in this draft. What he can do with his hands and what he can do when he's on the rush and moving his feet is almost second to none, especially down low on the boards, using that big frame to creep around in small places and generate chances out of nothing is a great aspect to his game, as well as his defensive game. He has great stick, and when he's on, he is an absolute force, and we were able to see that in the playoffs and through stretches of the year. But the problem with him this year is that there has been some documented issues with questionable character and him maybe not putting in the work he needs to every night. I've seen multiple viewings where he was the best player on the ice, and I've seen games where he's totally emotionally withdrawn from games. If the team's down and he's not getting opportunities or he's been ridden hard physically, he withdrew. And it's riding the wave with him that really makes it hard for him to be that top guy for us. I think he's going to be a heck of a player, but I think there's a lot of maturity issues that need to be sorted out for him to actually hit that next level and be that top 6 guy that teams are hoping he will be. Going to be a heck of a player in his own right. It's that character issue that has to be sorted out for him to really hit that climax.
He is Justin Fraze, head scout for the western part of the country. For future considerations, their draft guide is out right now. The draft goes next Friday in Vancouver, June 21st. This is not a Western Hockey League player, but he's a guy that a lot of people love. What about you when it comes to Alex Newhook of the Victoria Grizzlies?
It's a lot of comparable aspects to him and Kirby in the course that their development curves this year were, they had some ripples in them up and down. For me, Newhook started off, he put himself on the map. He's a high-skill two-way player, not as big as Dach or anything like that, but his ability to see the ice, manage play, create, and put the puck in the net is the most attractive asset that he has. He's also great at playing the two-way game and can get his nose dirty a little bit here and there. But for him, I also saw a guy that... he was up and down in his ability to compete and putting in the work that needed to be done. There was a lot of games where his teammate, Alex Campbell, looked like the better player most nights. And until right down to the wire and right down the stretch and into the playoffs, we were really low on him. After having a strong U18s, maybe kind of restored a little bit of faith we had where he was putting in the work and really leading by example as opposed to just riding the wave and just only turning it on when he wanted to.
A couple of other thoughts as we talk about most of these guys going in the first round come the NHL draft in Vancouver next weekend. This now on defense, Matt Robertson. Tell us about him.
Robertson, he's a great two-way guy, big body, really projectable. I was a really big fan of him. Had him a little closer to the top 10 than most until later in the year. I feel that he has an element to add offensively, but I foresee him being more of a game manager type defender than a game changer. Has all the tools, can put plays up ice, move the puck well, skate in the offensive zone, and really jump on pucks that are in a in free ice where he can create scoring chances. For me, though, I think when it comes down to the wire, he's probably suited better to partner with a guy who's a little bit more dynamic offensively. But he has a lot of the tools that are highly regarded in today's NHL. And I believe that he's going to be a strong player. And at that point in the draft where we have him rated 19, I figure why not have a guy who you could slot into your top four down the line. And he's definitely one of those guys that fits that bill.
Last individual question for you, and it's a guy that Calgary fans are very familiar with, and of course he played for the Prince Albert Raiders, and you know you don't see very often a 20-year-old ranked this high, and he has been passed over a couple of times, and he might go late first round, might be early second round, and I do want to ask you about Brett Leeson, who might be there when the Flames pick at 26, and he's also a guy who did struggle at the Memorial Cup with no points in three games and didn't really help elevate his team when it mattered the most. I guess maybe a two-part question. Just thoughts on Leeson, and did you have concerns about his play in Halifax?
For me, Leeson has been a great story all year. I mean, I know my notebook was pretty low on him going into the year. I was able to see, once he got moved to PA there last year, that he was able to use his hands in tight, but it was really limited as to what he could do. Fast forward a year, and I mean, he put in a hard summer, and wherever he's going to go, his trainer should go with him, because he really unhitched the plow and was able to use his skating to as a benefit as opposed to a detriment to his game, and allowed him to get to that ice and separate so he could showcase what kind of vision and what kind of hands he had and his ability to be a strong goal scorer and playmaker as well. What really kind of put him on the map for sure was his play at the World Juniors and how he skated alongside the best in the country and the best in the world and didn't look out of place at all. Small sample size on a dynamite team kind of made me a little bit concerned at the start with Leeson and PA and how they were steamrolling the league early on. But he really proved to me that he's a legit contender for the first round, and we've placed him accordingly. As far as his struggles in Halifax, I think there was a few factors probably in that. They just played a 7-game series, a long playoff run. I think he was worn down a little bit physically. And it was just a really, really tough tournament for a lot of Raiders, not just him. I don't think it's going to hurt his draft stock. It didn't really change what he can do in my eyes. At the end of the day, it's a 3-game sample size over what this kid can do. And he may not be that top line player as a pro, but I think we can very well see what we're getting from him as his development curve is spiked and looks to him as he keeps on weeding out the detriments in his game.
Two more for you. The first one would be, I guess, obviously, Leeson would probably be on that list, but who might be available for Calgary at 26 next Friday?
Well, in our rankings here, I mean, unless a guy like Robertson slides or if they like Leeson, there's not a lot of guys in the WHL that is around that area of the draft. I don't see them reaching for a guy like Caden Korzak, but I can highlight him as well. He's a lot like Robertson in the fact that he's more of a game manager than a game changer. He's a little bit heavier set guy. Affects maybe his feet a little bit more than Robertson, but he does have a great hockey head. He's a little bit tighter defensively, and despite that, he's able to move the puck fairly well. He's able to put pucks on net and create marginally offensively. I think next year when he plays in the Memorial Cup on a much stronger Kelowna team that is led by Adam Foote, I think that will be the coming out party for him. We'll see some better numbers, and maybe he'll be a guy that we could see a team reach for, especially maybe the Flames.
Now, we focused obviously very heavy on the high-end guys, but give us a couple of guys that maybe climbed really high in your notebook this year, some guys you're keeping an eye on when it gets to, you know, round 3 and 4. Give us a couple of names who you like when it comes to maybe some late-round sleepers.
Well, one of the guys that really jumped out this year, and I think that the hockey world finally realized who he was at the U18s, was Braden Tracy of the Moose Jaw Warriors. I remember going to the rink first game this year, and it was a really blue-collar game between Brandon and Moose Jaw, and Tracy didn't really stand out for me, but come Christmas and past that, he became a member of one of the most dangerous lines in the WHL with Travis Langan and Justin Almeida. And the kid has improved substantially since the start of the season. What's scary about him is his hockey mind is at an elite level and his craftiness is there. But there's a lot of dynamic abilities that need to be added and rounded out yet. His feet aren't the fastest yet. He doesn't have great separation speed, but he's so smart with the puck and can generate something out of nothing that I think once he hits that next stride that he's going to be a definite wild card in that second and third round and maybe even a guy who could slide up into that first round. I mean, you never know come draft day. Someone might like him enough and see the projectability of what he can do. Going a little bit deeper in the draft, guy that I really like too is Trent Miner. He's actually a product of Brandon here. He split time with David Tendick this year in Vancouver, but when you look at all the goalies in the WHL, it's a rebound year for that department as well. Miner was unflappable in that. He had a few maybe poor performances here and there, but his composure and his ability to see the play and develop and play a strong structural foundation to his game really put his name on the map. And I think we have him a little bit higher than most, but I like him. I think he's going to really turn into something if some team steps up and grabs him. If we want to go further down the list, another guy that doesn't get enough mention that I really like is Gianni Fairbrother out of Everett. Probably a little less known given the fact that the strength of Everett's defense is their veteran core. But Fairbrother is a guy who fit right into that mix and is a guy who continuously got better down the stretch. Doesn't play a really flashy game, but he's really sound in a lot of areas. What I liked about him the best is he can play a strong physical game, but he wasn't scared to rush the puck and create in the offensive zone. And his ability to get pucks on net and create shot lanes and pass lanes was, with subtle, smart hockey plays, was really efficient and effective. And he's a guy that I think really is regarded around that third, fourth round that a team should probably step up and grab him, despite the fact that he's a late 2000.
Justin, this is great stuff. Thanks, as always, for your time. I guess one final plug for the draft guide and where people can find it, and one more plug in that promo code, too.
All righty. So, 2019 Sportsnet, and then head over to futureconsiderations.ca, order it up, and get your discount while it's still there.
And where can people find you on Twitter?
You can follow me at PhraseFC, and that's my handle, and I'll try to provide as much thoughtful insight as I can down the stretch.
Thanks for this, pal. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'm sure we'll catch up very soon.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks, guys.
Justin Fraze from Future Consideration.